My name is Mike Judge and I'm with Christian Institute. Before I joined the Institute, I trained as a journalist, but please don't hold that against me. You can trust what I'm going to say. Now, clearly, as we've heard tonight, there is a growing intolerance of Christians, and we're particularly concerned about Christians, though, as Neil has rightly said, everybody within this free country of ours ought to be concerned about what has happened to the Roberts. But there is a growing intolerance of Christians, and particularly in regard to their expression of beliefs on certain moral issues. And it's right that we should be alarmed about what has happened in recent months. But as Humphrey said right at the beginning of our meeting, we must also keep things in a certain perspective. And we should be aware that there are a lot of sensible laws that exist to protect our religious liberties and freedom of expression. And these great laws of religious toleration, of freedom and liberty, have made Britain famous throughout the world. But the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. In other words, if we turn a blind eye when these freedoms are challenged, if we sit back while other people's liberty is attacked, then we run the risk of losing them forever. So if we want to keep these precious freedoms, we must be prepared to wrestle for them. And when we do wrestle for them, we're not just protecting ourselves, we are protecting everyone's liberty. Now, for over 15 years, the Christian Institute has been involved in campaigning for religious liberty. And in that time, we've seen some wonderful successes. And I want to share some of these stories with you, because they show what can be achieved with a little courage, hard work, and some backbone. Christian minister from Australia said to me recently, you know, Christians have a big wishbone. They wish for this, they wish for that, but what they need is a big backbone. So let me give you some stories that will encourage you. Now, in March 2004, Hull University Christian Union was threatened with being thrown out of the student union because it would not allow non-Christians onto its ruling council. Very similar to the story that Humphrey told us about what's happening in Birmingham right now. Well, the Christian Union did the right thing. It stood firm and it found out what the law says. It got legal advice and instructed a solicitor. And through its solicitor, it told the student council that its decision not to ratify the CU constitution was unlawful. There was a clear breach of the 1986 Education No. 2 Act, which guarantees freedom of speech on campus, as well as European Convention rights on freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom of association. And the student council had to back down. In 2002, members of a church near Rochdale were visited by the police for handing out Christian leaflets to Muslims. And the church members were told that they had committed a serious racist offence. Well, luckily for the church members, the minister of their church was a former police officer, and he knew that the law said no such thing. Well, the church contacted us, and we helped them get advice from a solicitor, and an official letter of complaint was lodged with the police, and the police eventually admitted that no crime had been committed, and they wrote a conciliatory letter to those church members. Also in 2002, a transsexual tried to sue a church in South Wales because it would not let him attend ladies' meetings or use the ladies' facilities. In fact, the women in the church made it perfectly clear to the gentlemen of the church that under no circumstances would they share their facilities with this transsexual man, and the men of the church would be in real trouble if they didn't stand up. Well, as a result of that, the church got together and decided that they couldn't have these women on their back, so they decided to fight the legal action, even if it meant selling the building to pay for the legal costs. Imagine it, a church in modern-day Britain saying, well, even if it means we have to sell our building, to fight for our liberty, to conduct ourselves as we believe, and we'll do that. Well, we helped the church obtain the services of a very good barrister who successfully applied to have the case struck out by the court. The judge made it perfectly clear that the transsexual had no legal basis to bring the case. Although I have to say, the judge also made it known that his personal sympathy lay with the transsexual. But you see, because the law was clear, that a church has the liberty to associate with whom it chooses, the case was struck out. However, if that same situation was to arise today, it could be less clear because of a new law called the Gender Recognition Act. Now, this law gives transsexuals sweeping new rights to be treated according to their assumed sex for all manner of things. Now, it does not give the right for a transsexual to force themselves upon a church, but in that sort of a situation, it may make such a case more problematic to defend. Now, when this act was going through Parliament, there was an additional problem. The government wanted to make it a criminal offence for anyone in an official position to reveal the true sex of a transsexual. And this so-called disclosure offence was to be punishable by a fine of up to £5,000. And this law would have directly criminalised church leaders who act according to the Bible's teaching during the exercise of their ministry. Now, when the act was being debated in Parliament, church leaders said that this disclosure offence infringed their right to freedom of religion. They said they needed to disclose, or to have disclosed to them, the true sex of an individual for purposes of marriage, membership, baptism, and other issues within a church. After all, if a church minister is marrying two people, he needs to know that those two people are a man and a woman. Not a man and someone pretending to be a woman. And if another church leader should come up to him and tell him, well, do you know that actually that person in a dress is really a man? Well, they shouldn't face criminal proceedings for telling the truth. Now, we argued for months that the government should exempt church leaders from this new offence. Time and time again, the government refused. And an attempt to amend the act to protect church leaders from the disclosure offence was blocked by the government. We felt like we were talking to a brick wall, but we didn't give up. We took legal advice from a leading London lawyer, James Dingemans QC, and his advice confirmed that church leaders could very well be caught by that offence. And this led to a meeting with government officials, and following this, the government brought forward regulations to give exemptions from the disclosure offence to church leaders. And so that was successful. But that story shows the need to be persistent and not to give up at the first hurdle. Life isn't easy. Things don't work like that. Now, if we care about the faith that we profess to follow, then we should not give up the struggle for the freedom to live out that faith, no matter how difficult the struggle may be. Now, in the last few months, we've won another important battle to protect religious liberty. The Equality Bill, which is very soon to become a full Act of Parliament, was going to introduce a new civil law offence of harassment by a public body against a person on grounds of religion. Now, whilst this law could have been used to protect a Christian, in fact, if that law had been around when Joe and Helen had their visit from the police, perhaps they could have used it. But whilst the law may be used to protect a Christian, it was far more likely to be used, actually, to attack religious liberty. And because of that, we campaigned against the law. And I'm delighted to say that the House of Lords also recognised the dangers and voted to remove the offence from the bill by a majority of 90 votes. And because of that, the government dropped the proposals for now. Now, that is great news. However, we must always be on the lookout. The government says it will have another try sometime in the future. And even the stand being made right now by Joe and Helen is already beginning to have a good effect. Because their case, together with similar recent cases, has put pressure on the police to revise its guidelines on allegations of so-called homophobia. You see, the newspapers have found out that the Association of Chief Police Officers had issued guidelines to all police forces saying they must investigate all allegations of what they call homophobia, however groundless the allegation may be, and whatever they understand the word homophobia to mean. And the guidelines say that police must do this in order to avoid what they called secondary victimization. In other words, police forces should investigate all allegations of homophobia in order to avoid upsetting homosexuals. Now, by the way, this guidance has no statutory force. Police forces are not obliged to follow it at all, but the fact is, in practice, many of them do. However, as a result of all the negative publicity surrounding the Roberts case and other recent similar cases, the Association of Chief Police Officers have agreed to review this guidance. And that's because of all the fuss that's been created because of the case of Joe and Helen. And you see, by making a stand, it does have an influence. Now, I'm telling you these things because I want you to see what can be achieved with some courage and with some resilience. We've been too quiet as Christians for far, far too long. Freedom comes at a price, and that price is eternal vigilance and willingness to wrestle for our liberty against those who would seek to remove it. Now, some Christians worry about using the law to protect our freedom. They worry about whether it's really the right thing to do. Now, if you're worried about that, let me say this. Think of the Apostle Paul. He was willing to use his legal rights as a Roman citizen when it benefited the gospel. You can read about this in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 37, where we read that Paul was thrown into prison without trial, contrary to his rights as a Roman citizen. And when the magistrates realized that Paul was a Roman citizen, they wanted to release him quietly. What did Paul do? He made a stand. He made them do it publicly. And I am sure as a result of that, the authorities would have been much more wary about arresting Christians in the future. The fact is, Paul the Apostle was willing to both use and not use his legal rights when it benefited the gospel. Now, I just end by saying this. How will we be able to look our children and our grandchildren in their face if we make the future harder for them because we didn't stand up for freedom tonight? Joe and Helen didn't go looking for trouble. They simply expressed their opinion on a council policy. And then they were visited by the police to educate them about their views. Things have gone too far now. It is time to make a stand. Because if we don't stand up for liberty today, what on earth would our children face tomorrow?